I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to Thee among the nations. For Thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and Thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be over all the earth.
Thank you, men, for calling us to worship. And thank you for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. On today's program, we'll be returning to our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. My teaching is titled, The Heart of Giving. If you're in a place where you can conveniently pick up your Bible or use your phone app, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and be ready when I read the scripture. This program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Part of that disciple-making process is sharing copies of God's Word with those in other countries and languages who find it difficult or impossible to afford a copy of the Scripture. In the past 12 months, your generous partnership has allowed us to distribute more than 114,000 copies of the Scripture in a variety of languages. In the final months of 2022, we launched an appeal to raise $200,000 to purchase and distribute Bibles in 2023. We already have several orders in the pipeline. You responded so generously that our final total amount was a little over $225,000. So thank you and praise God. Try to imagine with me what it would be like to long for a copy of God's Word, but know that it's either financially out of your reach or it's not available in your language. And then, seemingly out of nowhere, a local pastor places a copy of the Scripture in your hands, a copy that you can read. Here's a testimony from Zambia, a country in southern Africa. Thank you so much for the work you are doing here in Zambia. Here, we pastors are not rich to purchase Bibles for these souls who are hungering and thirsting for God's Word. Our people can't afford to purchase Bibles on their own, especially in remote areas, but your ministry makes it easier for us here in Zambia. Please, never give up. And here's another one. Warm Christian greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everything is going well with you there. I want to let you know that the distribution of Bibles went well. We even shared a few local language Bibles with each pastor. These Bibles have converted many people in remote areas. They have started meeting in groups for Bible studies. Also, they have led to the conversion of witch doctors. They now know that there's a God who made us and redeems us from sin. God bless you for your support. We need more Bibles soon. Isn't that amazing? These testimonies are only possible because people just like you pray and give to make these copies of the Scripture available. And remember, God has promised that His Word will not return to Him empty. It will accomplish the work that He sends it to do. What a tremendous promise. Now let's worship as the men sing about those wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty.
beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Today, right now, you and I have the privilege of opening these wonderful words of life and learning more about Jesus and His will for us. Our teaching for today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and is titled, The Heart of Giving. So let's get started. One of the few things I remember about my grandpa's garden from when I was a boy is that he raised celery. If you've only eaten celery bought in a grocery store, you don't really know what good celery is. Raising celery the old-fashioned way is labor-intensive, but it produces a vastly superior taste, and the heart of a fully bleached celery stalk is especially tasty. And you know, the heart of a watermelon is also the best part of that fruit. Sometimes when we talk about an issue or a situation, we ask ourselves, what's the heart of the matter? In other words, what's the core of the issue or what's the real reason behind the situation? We're looking for causes with that statement, rather than just symptoms. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus contrasted good men and evil men by saying, "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." A man's life gives us evidence of what's really inside him. And then Solomon wrote, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Or as the NIV says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul takes up the subject of giving. And the context is physical need. The giving is financial. In light of the scripture I just mentioned, what is the heart of giving? What is it that motivates God's people to give to the needs of others? Well, that's what we want to discover today here on The Voice of Hope. From our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 to 7. If you can find that text in your copy of the scriptures or on your phone app, then I invite you to follow along as I read. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 through 7. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear them witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." This text highlights several motivations that were evidenced by the Macedonian believers, and they reveal to us the heart of giving. The first motivation that reveals the heart of giving is a dedication to God. Did you catch what Paul said about the believers in Macedonia? The reason for their generosity, in spite of the fact that they were extremely poor, was they first gave themselves to the Lord. This motivation is at the core of genuine biblical giving. You know, Christ followers aren't the only people who give generously. Many of the wealthiest people and families in the world give huge sums of money to their favorite causes. These people are sometimes referred to as being altruistic. What that means is they have an unselfish regard for or a devotion to the welfare of other people. Think for a moment about men like Gates and Soros and Bezos, and maybe families like the Rockefellers or the Walmart Waltons, and some others you may know. Do they really have an unselfish regard for others, a devotion to the welfare of other people? Or do they instead have specific goals or agendas in mind that motivate their giving? If they do, then that isn't altruism. That's giving to get something in return or to accomplish what they think is best. And many times they give without regard for how the recipients feel about the gift or regardless of the impact it will have on them. Paul's commendation of the Macedonian believers emphasizes their devotion to God. And so we read that these believers, unlike the wealthy, were giving out of their extreme poverty. They were literally at the bottom of the economic scale. And yet, did you notice? They didn't give grudgingly. No, they did it with overflowing joy. Now, what about you and me? What about our giving? Are we so dedicated to the Lord that we're willing to give even out of what we need? Now, I don't see this as a command. It's a record of what happened. But it was included in divine revelation for a reason. You know as well as I do, much of the Bible is narrative, but we are to learn from what is recorded for us. In the developed world, there are organizations that study people's giving patterns. In one such study, researchers were challenged to state the results of their survey in just 25 words or less. Now, I assume they were surveying professing Christians because here was their answer. Giving is down because we don't love God as much as we love a lot of other stuff. What does that statement reveal about our dedication to God? In 2005, Thomas Cannon died. He was 79 years old. When he was just 3 years old, in 1929, his father died, and he grew up in a three-room shack without running water or electricity. But then as an adult, Thomas worked for the Postal Service. His salary was never more than $25,000 a year. After he retired, he and his wife lived in poverty, and yet over the course of his life, he gave away more than $156,000. Was Mr. Cannon a Christ follower? Well, the newspaper article didn't give that detail. But very few people, even believers, are willing to live like him and do what he did. By giving themselves to God, these Macedonian believers understood their obligation to care for God's people. Remember, they only had the Old Testament scriptures and perhaps a few recorded portions of the teachings of Jesus. But like Zacchaeus, they understood that a changed heart resulted in concern for the well-being of others, and especially for brothers and sisters in Christ. So the first motivation that reveals the heart of giving is a dedication to God. There's another motivation that reveals the heart of giving. It is a delight in God's goodness. Macedonia, at the time that Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, was being strangled by high taxes and regulations from Rome. And we learn further from Acts 17, verse 5, and from 1 Thessalonians 2:14, that the believers in Macedonia were facing serious persecution. You know, we have many brothers and sisters around the world today who find these twin pressures part of their daily experience, poverty and persecution. Paul told the Corinthian believers that their brothers and sisters in Macedonia were going through a severe test. His word choice refers to the intense heat that's used in the refining of metals. Peter echoes this idea in his epistle, writing of the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, how could the Macedonian believers delight in God's goodness? Not only were they living in poverty, but they were also going through intense persecution. Would I, be able to delight in God's goodness in those kinds of circumstances? I believe the answer to that question is found in the first motivation we looked at, a dedication to God. The Macedonian believers obviously realized two things. First, everything they possessed belonged ultimately to God. And second, that what they had gained in receiving the gospel far outweighed any material loss they might experience. When you think about the most thankful people you know, those who delight the most in God's goodness, are they the wealthiest people? Are they the people who have had what you might call an easy life? On one of my trips to Asia, I was invited to the home of a brother who was very active in the Lord's work. When we got to the house, we entered a room, and I assumed it was just part of the family house. But I found out later it was their entire living quarters. He, his wife, and their son lived in a one-room apartment, approximately 12 feet by 12 feet. They share a kitchen and a bathroom with the other tenants who live on the ground floor. All of their earthly possessions, with the exception of a motorcycle, were stored in that room. And yet, this brother displays a quiet confidence in God, and he delights in his goodness. I was so blessed to be able to make his acquaintance, and I am deeply challenged by his example. I have much to learn from my brothers and sisters in the developing world. So far, we have two motivations that reveal the heart of giving, a dedication to God, and a delight in God's goodness. There is yet a final motivation I want to share with you that reveals the heart of giving. It is the desire to share. When a person is dedicated to God and delights in God's goodness, then the desire to share with others is somewhat natural. Paul writes in verse 4 that the Macedonian believers implored us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So even though they were living in poverty, even though they're going through a time of intense persecution, they're begging Paul for the privilege of sharing in this relief offering for the church in Jerusalem. He further says that they went beyond their actual ability and gave more than they could really afford. Keep in mind that the Jerusalem church was predominantly Jewish, and they didn't always look with favor on the Gentile members of the church. Now, normally, if you and I were treated poorly by someone, we wouldn't be very eager to help them in their time of need, would we? But this just reinforces the level at which the Macedonian believers were dedicated to the Lord. By sharing in the need of their brothers and sisters, they were sharing with Christ Himself. A number of years ago, four young men were Bible college students, and they were renting a house together. One Saturday morning, an old, bedraggled-looking man knocked on their door. He had a silvery stub of whiskers on his face. His clothes were ragged and torn. Even his shoes didn't match. But he carried a wicker basket full of vegetables he was trying to sell. But those vegetables were clearly past their prime. The boys felt sorry for him, and so they bought some of the vegetables. And then he went on his way. But every Saturday after that, he appeared at their door with his basket of vegetables. As the boys learned to know him better, they began to invite him in to visit with them before he continued on his rounds. Eventually, they learned that he lived just down the street from them in an old, rundown house. They also discovered that he could play the harmonica, that he loved to play Christian hymns, and that he really did have a love for Jesus. So every Saturday, it became a ritual. They'd invite him in, he'd play his harmonica, and they'd sing together. Over time, they became really good friends, and the boys began looking for ways to help him. One day, they went and collected a bunch of clothes and secretly left them on his doorstep. The following Saturday morning, right in the middle of all their singing, he suddenly stopped, and he said to them, "God is so good." And they all agreed, "Yes, God is so good." The old man went on, "Do you know why he is so good?" And they said, "Why?" "Because yesterday when I got up and opened my door, there were boxes full of clothes and shoes and coats and gloves. Yes, God is so good." The boys looked at each other and they smiled and they said, "Yes, God is good." The old man continued, "Do you know why he is so good?" They said, "Well, yeah, you already told us why. What more?" He said, "Because I found a family who could use all those things, and I gave them all away." You see, this elderly man, in his poverty, had a desire to share with those who were even less fortunate than him. And he had the joy of being the one that God used to meet that need. As you think about these motivations that reveal the heart of giving, they are simply a mirror of the life of Jesus. His dedication to the Father was such that he could say, "I always do those things that please Him." His delight in the goodness of His Father is clearly stated in John 17 when He said, "Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And finally, Jesus' dedication to God and his delight in God's goodness motivated him to share eternal life with all who will believe on him. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Paul ends this text that we've been looking at today by urging Titus and the believers at Corinth to follow through on the commitment that they had made toward the needs of the church in Jerusalem. He complimented them on their abounding faith and speech, and knowledge, and diligence, and love. And then he closed by saying, "Now, be diligent in your giving, too." Now we know the motivations at the heart of giving: a dedication to God, a delight in God's goodness, and a desire to share. I invite you to join me in asking God to help us develop those motivations more fully in our lives. Heavenly Father, help us to better understand the heart of giving so we can better represent you to our brothers and sisters and to those around us who don't know you. May our dedication to you, our delight in your goodness, and a desire to share become part of our daily experience. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is how we know true love. Jesus gave his life for others. This is how we show true love. We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
He gave his life for you.
He gave his life for me.
Love is demonstrated, feigned and underrated. Love is demonstrated again. Love from everlasting, love all else surpassing, love to everlasting again.
God so loved, gave his Son.
Jesus loved, gave his life.
This is how we know true love. Jesus gave his life for others. This is how we show true love. We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his
life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
He gave his life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
Love with great compassion, when love was not in fashion, love showed great compassion again.
Love in all creation, love for every nation, love for every man, woman, child.
God so loved, gave his Son.
Jesus
loved, gave his life.
This is how we know true love. Jesus gave his life for others. This is how we show true love.
We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his
life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
He gave his life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
This is how we know true love.
I hope God's Word has spoken to your heart. If you have questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like a copy of it, just write to us. We'd be happy to send to you a printed manuscript or a digital copy of this teaching. Just ask for it by its title, The Heart of Giving. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's HOPE at heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. You can also use this information to request a print or digital copy of today's teaching, The Heart of Giving. If you'd like to review today's teaching or listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. I hope you'll join me next week for The Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And until we meet again, remember these words of Jesus.
Lay up your treasures in heaven, O people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up
your treasures
in heaven,
O people,
lay up
your treasures
in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever.
Treasures
in heaven.